Welcome to it, Old School on a Monday. Thank you guys for hanging out. Some of you have been all day. I appreciate that. That's good to watch. Good to know. Jay Foreman is here with me, the Husker Hall of Famer. Nathan Brennan running the board. We'll bring him into the conversation as well. You guys know the deal. Starter Heyman text line 402-464-5685. Honda Lincoln Hotline, same number if you want to contribute, add to the conversation. You want your opinion to be heard, do that. Hit us with a what's up. Yeah, you got to talk to us first. You can't just yell at me from the rafters. You got to actually say what's up. Do that for us. We want to thank the folks from Certified Piedmontese, the Mercato. Great grub, great steaks, great burgers. Way underrated sorbet. Sorry, I'll get it out. When you first walk in, they've got the little deli area.
Yeah.
And all the prep stuff. And I messed around and got one of them sorbets. And I'm telling you, I tried to behave myself. And, you know, I'm like, I have a couple bites, put it back in the fridge, you know, right. A little bit at a time. Nah, failed miserably, Jay Foreman.
I hear you. Failed. Does that to you, though.
Failed miserably. The Starter Heyman video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter Live, all up. I do want to thank you folks for subscribing to the YouTube. So if you haven't, just jump on YouTube, pull up 93.7 The Ticket, hit subscribe, like, do the thing. We're up over 1,000. We should be around 5,000, but that's I'm going to work on that with y'all. I'm going to work on that with y'all. Again, we've got
after that first game, you're going to be at 2,500.
Yeah.
By week four, you'll be at 5,000.
Yeah. I think that'll be fair. The Tick merch store is up. The Foreman jersey is nice, and the Foreman shirt. Where's Jay? They're both on the website. I know what folks are getting for Christmas in the Foreman household. I know what all the family getting.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. Come on.
Yep.
And Santa drug in for you.
And hopefully you've downloaded the ticket app, so no matter where you are and what you're doing, you have access. And again, you've got every app to find your ticket content. So do that. Jay Foreman, a couple of things to talk about. And we'll go back to the conversation about parents and behavior, because that's tied into some of the fan behavior stuff as well.
Right.
Right? That folks have just – I don't know what caused it, but to have parents have always misbehaved, but now it's wide open because now everything's on – it's videotaped. Yeah. So the moment something goes buck wild, somebody turns the phone on and records it, it's shared, and it's the same thing. The same thing happens for fans, yeah. Right? Because every game that you go to now, there's a fight.
Yeah, well, it's recorded, so it becomes more normal. Which is before, if it was only on like a major news outlet or on the news, it was more shock. Now it's, it's crazy that if something's going on, you know, everybody's pulling out their phones so they can document it and send it, put it on social media versus trying to diffuse the situation. So that's just where we're at. You know, I mean, you got to think there was a few weeks, months, and probably still going on where fights on airplanes were, it was like normal. It was like, I remember saying, like, if you got on a United flight on like Spirit airline, boy, you better be ready to scrap. like you ain't getting on there and get you a nice little nap or something. You better be coming on there suited and booted, ready to throw down. So I think it's part of the deal and, part of the world we live in right now.
What caused it?
I don't know. I assume it's just social media, just because of it. You know, if there's millions and millions of people on Twitter and they're all getting access to it, I'm assuming it's that. Now, social media has got a lot of good things to it. You know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes when you see stuff like this, it just becomes normalized. It's not as much shock to you. It doesn't have as much negative impact on you. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I've seen that before 80 million times.
I don't want to get numb to that. I don't want to be numb to it.
Well, sure, you're not numb, but it's you've seen fights at baseball games more frequent, or at least on social media. If there isn't a fight at a Raiders Broncos game, you're like, that game didn't happen. If there isn't,
there's way too much truth to that.
Well, I mean, look at the playoffs. The Mavericks against the Phoenix Suns. It was like the dad, the mom, and the little kid said something to Chris Paul's wife, I think, right?
Yeah.
And, When would that ever have happened before? You know, I think just fans, and plus it's access to the players. You're close to them, you know. So it's just, I just think it's just the world that we're in, you know, we're in. I mean, it's just,
it's a little too much for me. Yeah. That just there. I'll ask you this question. Who was QB1 for the Huskers?
I'm assuming it's Casey, right? Did something else happen that I'm not aware of?
Here's what's funny.
Well, I thought that last week everybody called in and said it. The coach said it's Casey's job to lose, so then it means he's number one, right?
That's what the offensive coordinator said.
No, that's what the head coach said, right?
Head coach, offensive coordinator.
So that was like Friday, Thursday or Friday.
Uh-huh.
So essentially, we're 3 days after that. So what's
this is why I ask you these things, Jay, for insight
and
intel.
I'm asking it. Did some other news or something else happen?
The sun came up.
Did somebody
and people in Husker Nation needed something to be uncomfortable about?
Because the quarterback hadn't been named yet. That's it. You didn't get confirmation. It's almost like when people were done with like, well, if it's not on Facebook, it's not official. Like everybody probably, I'm assuming everybody in that locker room has an idea or knows who the assumptive starter is. I'm assuming. I mean, the players see it all the time. You know what I mean? It's like when, you know, people ask me about Tommy and Brooke Behringer. It's like, it was nothing to get.
You have the GOAT.
Right. It was apparent to me who was. Granted, there was things that Brooke did that was pretty dang good. Any other year, it would be no question Brooke was there, but Tommy was next level.
Let me ask you this then, Jay. I'll just interject real quick. As someone who likes naming the quarterback at least a week or two before the season starts, does it concern you that they haven't named a starter yet, or do you think this is just kind of what Nebraska football does, what Scott Frost has done, at least in recent memory?
Adrian was a starter from the jump, but
right.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, I think there's a ton of positions open. You know what I mean? Just from guys that have left, there's no, you know, quarterback's gone, your center's gone. I mean, there's just tons of competition there. I don't really see it as a knock against Casey in a check in Chuba's, you know, way of, oh, he's gaining ground in 72 hours. And Casey's not named the starter. I think it's good to, you know, push him, even though that you know. I mean, I've been in those competitions in training camp. You know, I've been, you know, was competing with the guy. But, you know, I was always out there with first-team defense. I was getting all the first-team reps. And I was performing better than him. And then, you know, put the stamp on it and, you know, kind of building up to the stamp that when I, you know, we kind of went at it. It was you know, a formality, whatever, you know, I was doing before. So, yeah, you'd like it, but, you know, we're not blessed with, you know, C.J. Stroud or, you know, or Young at our quarterback. You know, we don't have, like, a Will Levis or whoever where the guy had been here last year that's here this year. And, yeah, he might be facing competition, but his competition is mainly amongst and against himself on improving on some things he need to, you know, take himself to the next level. You know, we got two guys that are mainly in it, right? I'm assuming. I mean, I think, you know, and both of them weren't here last year, you know, and one was hurt majority of the spring, right? So he's kind of playing catch up, but then also he's starting to get more reps and, you know, like, you know, he's probably, you know, doing some good things. So waiting to see, I'm assuming, how they're, you know, rest of this week goes, because I don't know when they take off, but I'm sure by the time, you know, wheels are up, guys are, I mean, it's got to be set. You can't, if you're waiting till the day, I mean, an hour before kickoff, even when they do an hour before kickoff, we've played
teams. There are
teams
coaches
like,
that do that.
Yeah, but they know.
The only pushback that I do have, and I know that Nebraska doesn't have a C.J. Stroud. They don't have a Bryce Young. I get all that. But you brought in the guy that led the Big 12 in touchdown passes. Like, that's something that a lot of people forget is, like, Casey Thompson was legitimately dominant in the Big 12. He obviously had some injury problems. He threw for 5 touchdowns against Oklahoma, 5 against Kansas. Like, the dude has played at a high level and been successful. That's the only thing that rubs me the wrong way is, like, you brought this guy in, he led the Big 12 in touchdown passes, and now you're telling him that 10 days before we go to Northwestern, we still don't know the quarterback? Maybe they do internally, and we just don't know.
They've
that.
Said
but that seems like a problem to me.
They've said who the starter, who number one is.
Right.
Here's the thing. I don't care what level you're at. I don't care whether it's the NFL, college football, Pac-12, MEAC, whatever it is. There are very few positions on the field where any player does everything better than everybody who plays the position. That's just how it happens. In a running back room, look, you've got a pass and catch guy. You've got a downhill runner. You've got a flex guy. Right. You've got an inside zone guy from the receiver standpoint. You've got guys that are better against press, guys that need to be off the line of scrimmage for release. The offensive linemen, you guys that are better run blockers than pass blockers. Some guys get to the second level better than others.
Sure.
That's just football. So what bothers me is that when you have the conversation from football outliers who just want to drive insanity into the vacuum. The reality is this. Let it be who it's going to be. That should be the answer should be, what do you say, where are you going tonight? Wherever I'm going.
Yeah, I mean, At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who really rolls out. I mean, it does matter who really rolls out there, but whoever you roll out there is going to be scrutinized too much anyways. So, you know, I think it was an open shut with me. And when a coach says it's if I'm playing and competing for a linebacker position, you know, let's say like I transferred and I'm in, you know, I don't whatever it is, and when I'm in college and they say it's Jay's job to lose, I'm the starter. Now, granted, I'm not going to just sit back and relax. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go ahead and operate as such. And so I'm sure internally they know it doesn't do the team any good to do it outside of. You want to at least have a little bit of guess on the for the opponents, and I'm sure that's into it. And I'm sure they want to make sure that the quarterback position, which seems to be there's more on the quarterback in this system. It seems to me, considering Whipple, what he did with Pickett, what his expectations are. With background, with NFL background, I'm just assuming it. I'm not talking for him, but I'm just going off of if I'm looking at his resume, right? Last year, the last 2 years with Pickett, NFL coach, head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, he expects a lot out of his quarterbacks. So to keep that, you know, thumb on the nail, you want to make sure that, you know, you don't get too comfortable because at the end of the day, it's great what Casey did in the Big 12. That's why he's the first guy you sign, and you got a, you know, whatever NIL deal. But they like something about Chuba, and that's great what you did down in Austin. But only thing that matters is what you do here, because I'll play devil's advocate. If Chuba came and say, and there's plenty of guys that have had a little bit of injury bug, never really kind of got out of neutral. Fought injuries, looking for a new opportunity, gets here and gets healthy. Joe Burrow was that. Okay. Joe Burrow didn't get to compete in spring because he had got a, you know, a little bit of a knee. And they told him, we're going with Haskins. So he had to go somewhere else and start over. And so he shows up and he's almost like Chuba. He didn't have any, like, real tape. Yeah, he might have got in when they're beating somebody. He didn't really have anything. Now, he had a whole bunch of high school, you know, credentials and stuff like that, you know, where, you know, the previous staff turned their nose up at him, and he was Ohio Player of the Year. But when he got down to LSU, the first year, you know, he was so-so. Now, I wouldn't say so-so, but, you know, wasn't as great as – but he worked at it, and you saw the fruition of the second, so you just never know.
And again, especially because the quarterback position is so unique.
And there's only one that
plays. Right, there's only one. Right, you can be one of 8 defensive backs and have a shot to get on the field. It's not that way. And that leads me to another thing that I want to – we'll go to break because we need to get 3 segments in the hour. But when we come back, I mean, a lot of the conversation about the quarterback room, there are a lot of moving parts. And I had somebody Sunday tell me that Harburg needed to get on the field. And, boy, did I lose my mind. We will talk about that next here on Old School.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.